Accession number 3638, Mr. Peter Wayne, Reel 12.
The sergeant from Vienna, one was called Talbot, and the other one, I forget his name. We were following outside our military government detachment the usual military procedure of raising the flag in the morning and reveille, and in the evening to lower our standard. We usually lined up the men, whoever was available. We didn't take it very seriously, but we wanted to follow it, and we always had a little crowd of Germans around whilst the ceremony was on. I was at that time, as I told you, after Sergeant Major Goodwin had died, I was acting Sergeant Major. I had the acting rank, and I anyhow was a senior non-commissioned officer. So from time to time, to relieve some of the other chaps, I used to do the job myself. On one occasion, I had Sergeant Talbot, he was called Tisho, and Sergeant, I think he was called Weldon, was formerly called Wolheim, Sergeant Wolheim, and the three of us had decided to go out in the evening, and they were sort of nearby, and I was giving the usual command, you know, attention, and wait for, and we had a bugler who used to blow retreat, and the flag was taken down. My two friends were just sort of circulating among the German population. I was near the flagpole when there was a guy on crutches. He had lost a leg. He was our age, 20, in his 20s. He had lost a leg above the knee and had these two crutches. And I think he had another wound. I don't know whether it was a hand or something, or the fingers of one hand. Anyhow, he was severely handicapped. And he stood there with another German boy or man next to him. And whilst I was giving the usual command, you know, company attention, blah, 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 he said, you know, in our Panzer regiment, we did this ceremony a lot more. Zackig. Zackig means, you know, with a lot more impetus, a lot smarter. My two friends, of course, had heard that remark. I then joined them, and we collared this young man. We just waved him over to us. His friend came, wanted to disappear, but we grabbed him too and said, no, come, you can listen as well. So we had these two boys, two young men, our own age. And I said, tell me, having lost the leg and all that, do you still think the glorious German army was a lot better than we? Why aren't they here? Why are we here then? And, of course, he just made some stupid remark, and we sent him packing. But it does demonstrate the mentality at that particular period of the young German.
Now, what about your demobilisation? What was the process by which you were demobilised?
Well, the process was that we were sent back to England. I think it was actually Liverpool. And
that's in October 1946?
October 1946, yes.
And what was the actual process? I mean, what did they do?
Well, the process was that we were what was called demobbed. In other words, we handed in our weapons, we kept our uniforms, and we were issued with a shirt, a pinstriped suit. We could choose either blue or grey, a pair of shoes, and we also kept our greatcoats. We were issued with a raincoat. Strangely enough, we didn't get a winter coat from the army. And I remember we also got our war gratuity was paid out and paid into a post office account, and mine with all for 6 years service with all the promotions. I can never forget it. My post office account was credited with a princely sum of £93.01, which at that time was not, well.
It was a lot more than it is now,
put it that way. It was indeed. It purchased a lot more then.
Now, what were you going to do? You wanted to be a chartered accountant, that's sure.
Yes, that was my training. The situation was, of course, my mother and brother had a two-bedroom flat. I shared my bedroom with my brother.
Where's this? In Notting Hill?
Notting Hill Gate, yes. Notting Hill and Arundel Gardens. It's 5 minutes from here. We always lived in this area. And the most important thing was that to get a job.
Now, hang on, what about your status? You may have told me already. Were you actually... Had you been naturalised by this state?
No.
That meant you're still technically German.
Yes, I was still technically German. I think my naturalisation came through after I was a civilian, anyhow.
How was it done?
Well, we applied through the normal process, and as far as I remember, we also had to pay the £20 naturalisation fee.
Was there any fuss about it, or was it just automatic after your
It was automatic. Stuff? It was fairly automatic and fairly quick.
And how soon after you were released was it? Was it in 46 still, or would it be drifting to 47?
It was probably at the end of 46. It happened pretty quickly. Yes.
Now, so that's one thing. Now, so tell me about how you were going to get a job, or how you were going to train as a chartered accountant.
Yes. Well, I must be honest. My training, of course, after 6 years interruption, although I did in some cases, of course, but I dealt with these financial matters with Major Stedman, but nevertheless, I had forgotten most of the things like the legal side, like executorship and economics and taxation law, which has changed. Every year we have a new budget. So I was fairly ignorant. But the Institute of Chartered Accountants, my articles, you were articled if you didn't go to university in those days, you were articled to a firm of chartered accountants. My articles had expired, and I was granted the privilege of just having to pay to pass. I had passed my preliminary or intermediate. I was just given the privilege of passing just the final examination before qualifying. Now, the final examination for chartered accountant after 5 years of intensive training is a relatively easy process, but I had to really sit on my back and start again from virtually scratch. I did qualify in 1951.
Where were you working in that time?
Now, I was working as an audit clerk for a firm of chartered accountants, unqualified, of course, at that stage, half trained. And I was very fortunate because over 2 million young men were demobilized at that time, some of them earlier. The older ones were demobilized earlier, but my generation, most of them were demobbed in 1946. So jobs were difficult to come by. Anyhow, I did get a job as an audit clerk and for the princely sum of £6 a week. And I stayed with that firm for some time. And
studying.
Studying.
Working
and studying. And I carried this on for about 2.5 years. I then joined a larger firm, Fitzutillet. And in 1951, I qualified, I think the year before, I decided to leave my then employment, my salary, I remember those figures. My salary had gone up to about £400 a year, £8 a week. I was always rather adventurous, and I felt this is not my scene. I had a senior partner who actually was not terribly helpful, gave me a lot of responsibility, but I decided to apply for a partnership, and which I did, and successfully became first the junior partner. I ended up as a senior partner in a small firm of chartered accountants operating from Wigmore Street, and I had a very happy relationship there with two very nice gentlemen. One of them became really a close friend. We went skiing together, and so it wasn't just a business partnership. It was, you know, our families became friends, and which lasted until, unfortunately, they both passed away. And I then started my own firm, P.H. Wayne and Company, and continued as a consultant to various companies. I was finance director of various companies like the Waldron Estates and Taylor Construction. They were all fairly large companies, and they just wanted me as a consultant. I had to attend board meetings, and I think most of the directorships paid me £100 per annum. Nevertheless, if you have 10 of those, it still mounts up. Life was quite cheap in those days, in the 60s. And
so you had a successful career.
I had a reasonably successful career. Then, of course, having been away so long and time flying, you suddenly find in the 60s, I was in my 40s already, 40 years old. And 1960, and then I decided it's time I start a family. I mean, my brother and my mother was fairly independent, and I then sort of had my first pad. And my social life, of course, was very much at short rations, because I had to study for my final exam, and socializing then, of course, I was in my late 30s, and before I really sort of could take out a lot of girls, and or one girl, and I got married at the ripe old age of 48 and started a family, and I've been very happily married ever since.
Now, what about Germany and your relationship with the Germans?
Yes.
If you are German, or you were German, and when you were in Germany, you'd thought it would take a long time.
Yes.
How did you feel about the Germans generally after the war and right up to the present day? And how has it changed as you've been back there?
Yes, it has changed. I mean, we lost close relatives in the Holocaust. My father had lived underground. He could not escape to England, and he was unfortunately discovered living with false papers, and he was deported. We don't know quite when, but we knew he was deported to Auschwitz. I had an aunt who committed suicide before being deported. So my feelings with the Germans were, or anything German, was rather arm's length, even after the war. I refused to have a German washing machine or a German car. I felt, which in retrospect was perhaps a bit ridiculous. However, my feelings were very, very strong. And I did marry, in fact, a German girl. And although I knew her background, which was impeccable, she was born in 1933, so when the war ended, she was 12 years old. But her father and all her relatives were absolutely impeccable, and anti-Nazis, and I have proof of that. But I was attacked by my Jewish friend at some time, although it was already in the 60s, early 60s, for marrying a German girl. So that was the feeling at the time. Even my children, who were born here, have had occasions when invited by Jewish friends. So my daughter went to, she was 15, she went to a birthday party, and a Jewish boy came up to her and he said, "I understand your parents are German." This was when she was 1988. And this little boy, or young boy, teenager, said, "I hear you're an English boy, English Jewish boy. Your parents are German." And she said, "Yes, yes." And he said, "I expect your dad was one of those people who sent other people to the gas chambers." My daughter replied, "No, my dad is partly Jewish. We're very proud of that. And he served in the British Army for 6 years." And the hostess who had invited, or the other girl who invited Nikki, when Nikki told her this, she sent this boy home. She said, "We don't want you here. You've insulted my guest." So that's the feeling in the 80s of my own children, who are, of course, 100%. I wonder what happened.
So when did it relax? Did you go back to Germany much?
I did go back on several occasions. I have a very dear school friend who's still alive in Berlin, who was actually in the German army. He's a doctor, and he was a medical officer. He got wounded in France, and on being taken back to Germany via Switzerland, he jumped out of a train and got himself interned in Switzerland as a German soldier.
Where'd you go to? Did you go to Berlin?
I went mainly to
your old home.
My old home, to Berlin. I went
Minden?
And I did not never went back to Minden, except we did a nostalgic journey in the 1960s when I went to Frankfurt, and I went via Minden with my wife. I went to Frankfurt to propose. Well, I proposed to my wife, and I wanted to meet my in-laws who lived in Frankfurt.
Now, how did you feel when you went back to Germany? I mean, had it changed or?
Well, I mean, there was very little destruction in the Minden area, but it was.
Had they behaved, changed in their attitude to the Jews?
Well, I had. There weren't many Jews who returned to Germany, and I felt the young generation, I always felt that the young generation I had no problems with at all. It is my own generation where I still have this uncertain and uncomfortable feeling when I meet them socially, whether in Switzerland or wherever you travel, you meet that those silver-haired or blue-rinsed ladies of my generation. What did he do in the war?
But as far as you're concerned, young Germans, or you've got no problem with
anybody, sort of, you know, even my wife's generation, sort of, who were born at that time, I have no problem with. Of course, there is now a strong right-wing movement in Germany of these crazy shaven head youngsters, but I believe that is a very, very small minority. No, I have no uncomfortable feeling with them at all.
Thank you very much.